You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see all of you here today. If you're newer to Westside Church, we warmly welcome you and appreciate you being here and taking the time out to be with us today. My name is Steve. I have the privilege of leading the eldership team here at Westside Church. I normally get to preach, which I love doing. Today I get to receive. We have Jody and Vanessa Romero are here with us today. I just want to talk a little bit about our connection before they come up, just to remind you. There's a team called New Covenant Ministries International, NCMI, and Terry and I happen to be on that team. Jody and Vanessa are on that team, as well as about 200 other couples. And the main reason for this team is to come into local churches, to assist them, to come alongside, to speak in, to build into the life of the church, to equip the saints for the work of service, to partner, get churches to partner together for the advancement of the kingdom, advancement of the gospel. And so we are so privileged for this church. It's a local church. We're led by our own eldership. We're not part of a denomination or an association of churches. We're all local churches that are gathered together in the name of Jesus to fulfill his purposes in this region. But we're also connected through friendship with lots and lots of churches around the world, actually thousands of churches now. When we first came into relationship with this team, Terry and I, there was about 15 or 20 churches connected and working into two or three nations. And now we're working into over 100 nations around the world. And this church is part of it. We regularly go down to Mexico, and we've sent teams over to South Africa and other regular teams up into Canada. And so it's great to be part of this. We're not just tucked away, forgotten on this hillside here, this beautiful hillside, this nice place where God has placed us, but we have a job to do, and God is continuing to work together with us in that. That having been said, Jody and Vanessa are also on the NCMI team. They were on eldership with Kevin and Cindy Booth. Many of us know them. And they planted out about 5 years ago, and they are leading a church in East L.A. That's where Jody's from, and he grew up and went on a little bit of a life detour, went in the Marines, and God called him back to his roots, and he's ministering into that. They're doing a fantastic job. Restoration L.A., that's their church. They host our youth conference every summer, and our youth have been going down there for several years. They'll be going this summer and doing a bang-up job with the young people in several states that gather together there for that time. So we encourage you. By the way, that for this church, it's for those young people that are in eighth grade this year, going to go into high school next year, and our high school group. And so we encourage you to make sure that your kids, your nieces, nephews, grandkids, all those get a chance to go. You'll be hearing more about that. So before Jody comes up, I'm going to ask Vanessa to come up. She has a word to share for us. And here she is.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us. We are from East LA, so don't be afraid. We're very normal like you. But the Lord I just wanted to let you know that you are not a weak people. The Lord gave me a picture of what you guys look like in the spirit. And you are you are shepherds, okay? Huge shepherds that are strong and mighty with huge staff, meaning you're powerful people. And if you think you're small today, I'm letting you know now that the Lord says to you, you are not. That you are big and mighty because you know who he is and he lives and works through you. I don't know if you remember David. Remember David as a young kid? He went out and he was tending his father's flock. And remember that the lion and the bear came, and they had the sheep in its mouth. And he just snatched those things out of their mouth, and he killed those things. And I'm letting you know, there's things in your life, in your family, in your personal life, in your own minds, in the church that you have to kill and destroy. And God's asked you to do that. But remember, you are strong. Okay, you are strong. And then you have giants that you will take care of because God is mighty in you. Also, think about the great shepherd, how he's saying, oh, this church is like this. He's saying, this church is like me. He is the great shepherd. And I'm letting you know, just continue walking walking with the Lord in faith. If you believe that he exists, if you believe that he is Lord, then he is never, ever going to leave you. He's never left you. And you can do whatever he tells you to do through his power and through faith. When you have obedience and faith, you work those things two together, his authority comes and his power comes and his victory comes. Amen?
Amen.
So I claim that over you today. I claim victory, I claim power, and I claim anything else that the Lord has for you through Jody.
Amen. Cool. That's actually more than cool. I don't know if this is this on. I'm good. Cool. Here we go. Yeah. All right. So let's see. Thursday night was quiet. Sunday morning was a little louder. Let's see how this group is. So I'm from East LA. So I am an Angeleno, if you want to call it that. I know there's this NorCal, SoCal beef, but we got Giants and Dodgers, right? We got are you guys hockey fans? Yeah. So are you guys what, Sharks fans? So you guys know what the Kings had for dinner last night, right? Unfortunately, we didn't make the playoffs, so I guess I don't have much to say. But I think we still are in possession of the Stanley Cup, so. That'll comfort us until next season. I love being here. I love being with West Side Church. West Side, right? That's how you. I love being in Placerville. This is beautiful country. Love Steve and Terry. I love your guys' team. I love many of you personally. If I don't know you, I do love you. We have. So many connections through partnership, and it's just amazing to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Would you say amen to that?
Yes.
All right, so you guys are on track. That was good. Interaction. When you say amen, you're just saying, I agree with what you're saying. I'm supporting what you're saying. So that's a good way to start. You know what? Let's just jump right into it. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Steve had already primed this of who we are and what we are about. We are friends, but we do serve on a translocal apostolic prophetic team that comes into local church context. That doesn't mean that I am a church guru. Really what it means is that there is giftings in Vanessa and us and I that is able to come into another local church and strengthen and encourage. And so if by the end of today or this weekend you have been strengthened and encouraged in any way, then we have done our job and pleased God, but have done this thing that we're about to read for the local church. And so Ephesians 4 verse 12 reads like this, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. And he gave those gifts to the church for this reason, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. For the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And so whether you recognize it or not, you are here today to be equipped for the works of service of the King. Amen. Right? So if you and I have said yes to Jesus, if we have accepted Christ into our heart and received him as Savior and as Lord, how many of you know it's important that we see Jesus Christ as both? Many people today, they love the Savior Jesus, right? Jesus paid it all, right? He died on a cross for me. My sins are no more. I am forgiven past, present, and future. I am now back in reconciliation with the Father because of his sacrifice on the cross. He is my Savior, right? We love that part of Jesus. I know I do. You guys could say amen to that. It's great, right? If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here. But there's this other part of him being King. And the King rules and reigns. When we pray for the kingdom of God to come, what we're asking for is for his reign to come. Yeah. So that he is Lord. And so we, as his children, we as his subjects, need to bow ourselves to his will. He is Lord. When the Lord speaks or when the King speaks, his people respond. And so for the works of service means that you and I have been enlisted into the service of God. You and I now have a responsibility to the King.
It has nothing to do with acceptance. We are accepted. Say amen to that. Amen. Jesus loves you just the same today as he did yesterday. Jesus loves you in your worst condition as in your best condition. Do you believe that? How many of us have children? Raise your hand. And I know we get frustrated with our kids when they're doing bad or when they bring that fail home on their report card. But I'm telling you, as a good parent, we don't love them any different. I don't love my son any different as if he gets a fail in whatever college math he's taking or if he passes it with an A. I love him just the same. And Jesus loves us just the same. But there are things in the kingdom that are for our benefit. And when it comes to this thing of service, we have to understand that in the family of God, every member in the family of God has a responsibility to the family. Yeah. That each and every one of us has been commissioned to serve the King of Glory. And so what I want to speak about today is you and I understanding that God has given us a sphere of influence to serve into. Right. And so that sphere of influence is that those circles that you are connected to in your life, those circles in your workplace, those circles, young people at school, those circles when you're out and about doing your hobbies and hanging out with friends, those circles within the church. Right. How many of you know that God wants us to live an integrous life? Right. To be people of integrity. And really what that means, integrity, is that you and I are the same person in every area of our life, that who you are doesn't change. Your position might change. You know, you go to work and you might be the CEO, or you might be the foreman, or you might be the low guy on the totem pole. I don't know. And then you go and at home and you're dad or your mom or your son or whatever it looks like. And then you go to church, but throughout all of those spheres that you travel in, you are the same person. That's what integrity looks like. And so some of us who have rode the fence with the things of God, we know what it's like to, you know, be kind of double-minded, right? When I'm at work, I'm a different person than I am at home. Or you young people, when I'm at school, I'm a different person than I am when I'm in church. And how many of you know that that's not God's heart? Yeah. That God wants us to be a person of integrity. And I'm telling you, when you and I learn this thing of the spheres of influence that God has placed us into, he wants us to be consistent of this being a servant in all of those areas. You and I begin to, I'm telling you, our life gets a whole lot more simple. You know, I don't have to be two people. I don't have to be three people or four people. I get to be the same person. I'm a servant of God at work, and I'm responsible for the things that he's asked me to do, but I am on mission at work for my King. I'm a servant of God at school. And I get to be the same person that I am. And I might be a student, but I am still on mission for my King. And when I get home, I might be dad, or I might be son or mom or whatever your position is. But I'm still a servant of God. And I am on mission for my King at home. And then when I walk into church, guess what? I might be usher or Sunday school teacher or deacon or elder or whatever it looks like. But guess what? Above all, I am a servant on mission for my King. Yeah. Isn't this good? You guys getting me? Yeah. All right, here we go. All right. So Luke chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 49 reads like this. This is Jesus speaking, and he's a young man, just a kid. And he says this to them. Why did you seek me? Did you know, or did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? So if you guys remember this story, Jesus' family is traveling, and Jesus kind of makes the great escape. You know, some of your kids have done this at Walmart, right? Where you're focused, you're going somewhere, and the kid's like, oh, look at that. And then they end up over there, and you got to find them. So Joseph and Mary did this with Jesus, and Jesus is at the temple. Right. And so they go back to find him. And he's like, why are you guys looking for me? Didn't you know, or do you not know, that I am supposed to be at my Father's business? And so the character of Jesus has always been that of serving his Father. And if you and I are called to be Christ-like, right, Christians, we need to take the example of Christ. Even as a child, had this revelation that we are to be serving our King, that we are to be at our Father's business. Are you guys with me? Later on, Jesus says this in John 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food," or another word used in some of your Bibles would be "my sustenance," the thing that sustains me. What is food for? It's unfortunately for a lot of us, it's comfort, but it's food. Food is supposed to be our energy, right? We're supposed to eat to live, not live to eat. But you guys get what I'm saying. It's supposed to sustain us. Yeah. It's that thing that gives us the energy to go about our work day and live and have, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And so Jesus says, "My food, my sustenance, that thing that sustains me is to do the will of him who sent me." So basically, the thing that sustains me, my spiritual food, is to be about my Father's business, to do what he has asked me to do. And the end of that verse is, "and to finish his work." How many of you know that the Lord has commissioned the church to finish his work here on this earth? How many of you know that? Say amen. All right, don't get quiet on me. So look at your neighbor. Say, "The Lord is asking you to finish his work." See, we still have a mission. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? That we still have a mission. The church has been co-missioned, which means we are partnering with God, a co-mission. We are partnering with God on his mission. What was his mission when he came to the earth? To seek and save the lost. And I'm telling you, as servants of the Most High, we have to wrap our minds around this. And there's different areas in our life in which we serve that are all pushing towards the same mission, right? In Isaiah, he says, I've been empowered. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. And he goes on to do these amazing things for the King of Glory. But it has to do with serving this world around us, right? And so the same thing is for us, that the Spirit of God is upon us to serve him in all these spheres of influence that we're living in. Why? Why is the question we need to ask ourselves consistently? Lord, why has your Spirit been placed upon me? And what is it that you are asking me to do here on this earth? Because it isn't just to survive, and it isn't just to get by, and it isn't just to exist, and it's not to just go through the motions, which a lot of the church has fallen into, unfortunately. You and I have a purpose. Can you say amen to that? So look at your neighbor, say, "You have a purpose." You have a purpose. Amen. Right. So this thing is built into the life of the church. I mean, even words that are used as part of the local government are surrounded around this thing of serving. The word deacon, I'm pretty sure there's many deacons in this room. The word deacon, the word deacon means servant or minister, right? And so I don't know if you've ever been a part of like denominational churches, but a deacon in some churches is like a serious thing, right? When you're the deacon of the church, like, oh, that's a deacon. Church, you know, it's some of you deacons like, "Ah, wish." Some of you elders are like, "Yeah, I wish." But the word, when you break it up in the Greek, it's diakonis. It means dust and thorough, right? So dust and thorough. And so how you use it in an accurate sentence, it's one who kicks up dust. Right? And so some of you deacons are like, "Yeah, I love kicking up dust," right? And I'm not talking about causing trouble, which, yeah, I think I shared this on Thursday night with my friend Ron Larson. He says, "Yeah, there's too many deacon-possessed people in the church." But it's one who kicks up dust. And really what that means is when someone is asked to serve, is their immediate response is so quick that they turn. You guys know that turn and burn? What was that like? That was one movie, I don't know, the Will Ferrell movie with the racing cars, whatever, turn and burn, whatever. So one who turns and basically gets set in motion quickly to do the things that they're asked to do. And that needs to be our heart when it comes to the things of God. When God asks us to serve in an area of our life, it should be that kind of response where we actually turn and get to the things that he's asked us to do. Some of you parents know what this is like when you ask your kid to do something. You wish that they would be the type of people who turned and burned or kicked up dust to get that thing done. But I'm telling you, God is in heaven, and he's desiring the same kind of thing from his kids. And it's not this thing because, you know, he just wants to see us all freaked out. And some of us have learned to operate in some of those arenas. You know, if you're in the military, you know what that's like. Instant obedience to orders. I mean, they ask you to do some crazy stuff, and you just got to do it. You can't question it. Later on, you realize that a lot of it's for your own good. But we got to understand that God is expecting the same. He is King and He is Lord. And when He is asking His servants to be about His work, it's amazing that some of the church's attitude today is we think we have options. You know, the Lord comes and approaches us, and He whispers in our ear, or He'll give us a prophetic word from someone, or we read scripture and something bounces off the page and the Holy Spirit just begins to minister to you and says, you know, I've been asking you to do this thing, or this is something that I would really like you to start operating in your own life, or this is an area of service that I am calling you to. And it's funny how we think we have options. Well, I don't know, Lord. I just don't know. Let me pray about that. That's the most amazing thing I hear from people all the time. Let me pray about that. I was like, look, there's nothing to pray about, man. You want to help us do the yard or not? You know, you don't got to help pray about it. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we just make it hyper spiritual. It's a way for us to procrastinate, and it's a way for us to not be engaged. But I'm telling you, we need to learn to respond to the Lord quickly, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 11 reads like this. And Paul sums up this idea pretty good. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Right? Never be lazy and work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. If you're in a position of authority at work, you know what this feels like for those who work for you. You wish that they will never be lazy and work hard enthusiastically. Like, I would just appreciate it if you would just do what I asked you to do, and guess what? Do it with a smile, right? I mean, this is what we expect in the workplace, and our King is sitting on the throne, and it's amazing how many of us just work at our own pace begrudgingly. And I'm not here to say, hey, you guys are doing a horrible job. I know that this church serves its butt off. Vanessa and I have been beneficiaries for the last few days of how amazing this church has served, not just us, but just the generosity that flows out of this place. But I'm not just talking about this Sunday morning thing. I am talking about our lives. I am talking about what God is asking you to do on a day-to-day basis. If the level of service that you operate under in the kingdom is only on a Sunday morning, then you and I are missing it. Because we are called to be servants every day of our life. Monday through Sunday, 24 hours a day. If you're in the military, you get what I'm saying. Because when you are enlisted, you are now in the service 24 hours a day. You might be able to have some times of relaxation and hanging out in the barracks or hanging out, doing whatever. But no matter what, you are on duty. And if at any time someone can pull your chain and you got to get back at it. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. We are servants 24/7. And anytime the Lord whispers or taps on our shoulder, we need to be the one say, like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord. You guys with me? Yeah. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 through 11, read like this. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. So this is Paul speaking to the church in Thessalonica, and he's telling them about his encouragement as an apostle, even when he was with the church and he spent some time with them. That's part of this relational thing that we try to model in NCMI. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Right? Have you guys ever heard this principle? A man who doesn't work doesn't eat. And so this is what I want to share with you. I believe that every principle in Scripture is spiritual, right? And so we take a physical principle, a man who doesn't physically work, doesn't physically eat, and that kind of makes sense to us, right? If you didn't pitch in on this thing, you don't get to enjoy it, right? Some of us have that mentality. Potlucks, I mean, we're watching to see who brought stuff. Look, they didn't even bring anything, and they were eating, whatever. But listen, the spiritual principle to me is if we are not serving in the spirit realm, which could be a physical act, but it's more services unto the Lord, then we are not spiritually being fed. Jesus said, my sustenance is to do the work of my Father, or to do the will of my Father. So what sustains me is to work for my dad. That's what gets me by. And so this spiritual principle in 2 Thessalonians is a man who does not work, doesn't eat, is a man who isn't spiritually serving, eventually begins to be spiritually malnourished. Are you guys following me? And we can see some of these people, and I see a lot of people, and some of the things, well, you know, we talk to people, and they're like, well, I'm praying, and I'm reading the word, and I'm coming to service, but, you know, I just feel like I'm spiritually empty, and I don't know what's happening. Well, are you serving? Well, what do you mean? Well, are you serving? Well, I just told you I'm spiritually empty. I have nothing to give. Well, a man who doesn't spiritually work is spiritually not eating, and so has no sustenance to sustain him in the spheres of influence that God is calling him to. And so I'm telling you, you and I need to be doing the work of our Father so we can be sustained, so that you and I have the spiritual energy to be about our Father's business. You guys following me? So like it or not, we've been drafted into the service of the Lord. If you said yes to Jesus, you have now been enlisted. So look at someone and say, you're enlisted, right? I'm in the Lord's army. We used to sing that when we were kids. Some of you go, I'm in the Lord's army. I've changed it. I'm in the Lord's Marine Corps. No. It's just a different level of service. That's all. It's just different. I didn't say it was better. I said different. So you see how you guys hear things? It's different. It is different. That's all I said. That's all I said. Trust me, I wish I would have joined the army. I have all kinds of military jokes. I will not share them. So listen, you've been drafted. You're in. And so now it behooves, that's a big word, right? It behooves us to find our place. It behooves us to say, Lord, okay, I'm not Steve, I'm not Joe, I'm me. Lord, where is my place and where do you want me to be serving? Where these spheres of influence that you've already placed me in. And I believe many of you are already in the place that you need to be. So it's not a matter of place. It's a matter of being activated, right? And there's so many Secret Service Christians out there, right? I don't want really anyone to know. And I'm telling you, there is no Secret Service in the body of God, body of Christ, right? Right? We're supposed to be out there. And I'm not saying being weird, but we need to be out there. We need to be faithful with what God has called us to, right? And so we're enlisted. If you guys have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10. Just want to go through some principles about being servant leaders. Jesus Christ was the greatest leader that ever walked this planet. You say amen to that. Amen. Jesus Christ, and it's amazing because if you look at Jesus' success in the world's eyes, right? He did have many followers, right? We know that. There was crowds of people that followed him. There was thousands, and then there was 500, and then there was 170, and then there was 72, and then there was the 12, and then there was the 3 within his inner circle. But ultimately, the ones that were recognized was 12 men. Jesus took 12 men, and he invested his life into these 12 men. And these 12 men took what Jesus gave them, and they turned this world upside down. And you and I are here today as a result of 12 men's faithfulness to what Jesus poured into them, right? Right. And so, but with a worldly view, if we looked at Jesus, well, how successful was he? He only, poured his life into 12 men. I mean, I know guys who have churches of thousands, but I'm telling you, these 12 men turn the world upside down. And I'm telling you, if you and I were to grab a percentage of the heart that these 12 men had, and begin to run with the mission that Jesus has given us, we would be turning those spheres of influences in our life, those circles and those networks that we have, upside down for the kingdom of God. And that's what God is asking of us. So, but here's a case that he's speaking to his guys. Verse 35, it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him, and they said, 'Teacher, we want you to do us a favor.'" Now, parents, I don't know if your kids have ever blindsided you like this and said, hey, dad, or hey, mom, can you do us a favor? You guys ever had this, right? And you already, I was sharing with the earlier service, when my son Ezekiel does this, I already know I'm in trouble. It's gonna cost me all kinds of money. Dad, you know, if I ask you something, will you do it? You're like, all right, dude, like, you're going to have to tell me what it is first, right? And so that's what Jesus is saying, verse 36. "What is your request?" he asked. And they replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." What a setup, huh? Right? And so they're appealing to him, like, when you sit on your glorious throne, now you're trying to butter him up, right? It's like your kids, like, "Dad, you know how I love you, right, Dad?" Right? "Can we sit on your left and on your right?" And then Jesus responds like this: "You don't know what you're asking." And there's an exclamation mark, so I got to believe it's a firm statement, like, you don't have a clue what you just asked me. "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with?" And this is a serious response, right? You have no idea what you're asking. You're asking me to give you a place to sit. But I'm telling you, the only reason why I've been given that place is because the Father has sent me to be murdered for the sins of the world. And after 3 days, obviously, this is all him knowing, I'll resurrect and then ascend eventually, and then I will be seated on the throne. That's why I get this place. And will you guys be able to do anything like that in order to be the guy sitting next to me? And this is their response. "Oh, yes," they replied. "We are able." Probably a little naive. But Jesus responds again with this. And then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. God has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen." Verse 41, when the 10 other disciples heard that James and John had asked, they were indignant, right? How many of you guys have kids? How many, kids are communists. I'm telling you, if you give one kid a bag of Cheetos, every kid has to have a bag of Cheetos. Right? I mean, if you pass, "Oh, he got two, I only got one. Everything needs to be equal," right? It's those kind of things. So when one of your kids comes, "Dad, can I get a Slurpee?" And then, like, and they always take you to the side so no other kid hears it. "Can I?" And the other kid, "What? I want a Slurpee!" Right? Those kind of things. So you got to think, the disciples are listening to these guys. "Jesus, can we sit on the right and the left of you in heaven?" And the other 10 are like, "What the heck are these dudes doing?" Right? So they're pretty upset about this. And so Jesus has to obviously bring some light into the situation. So Jesus said, "Listen, everybody come here," right? Or we in the military, we said, "All right, sit, kneel, bend," right? Everyone's classroom formation, and we just knew what to do. Everyone sat down. This is how it's going to go. "You know the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them, but among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader amongst you must be a servant," or must be your servant. "And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else." Now, this turns everything upside down on its head, right? I mean, in today's culture, in today's world, we climb up the ladder so that we don't have to serve anymore, right? I mean, we in the workplace or I mean, I remember as a kid, I can't wait to be the dad. Oh, man, I said this one thing to my dad one time. Jeez Louise. My dad said something to me, and he's like, "You know, I'm teaching you this so that when you get older, you'll be able to do this yourself." And this is what I told my dad. "I don't recommend this, young people. I'm just going to have 8 kids like you do and make them do everything." Oh, that was bad. But in that thing, I was saying, well, I'm just going to be the guy in charge so I don't have to do anything anymore. That was my thinking as a kid, right? And I'm telling you, sometimes in the workplace or even in the church, that thing has snuck its way in that, guess what? I'm just going to get myself up to the top so I don't have to do anything anymore. I'm going to be the lead usher so that I don't have to be the guy who's patrolling the parking lot anymore. Or I'm going to be the head of children's ministry so I don't have to be in the classroom anymore. I'll make the classroom schedule. I mean, do you guys get what I'm saying? These are the things Jesus is saying. That's not the way it's going to be amongst you. It's going to be different, right? Verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is Jesus' example. This is what Jesus did. He said, I didn't come to be served, which the King of Glory had every right to do. Which the King of Glory had every right to come down to this earth and just wipe out every other culture and establish his kingdom, which is what the world was praying for at the time, which is what the Jews were praying for, which his disciples, is it at this time will you establish the kingdom? At this time will you rebuild the temple? At this time will you become the king and just conquer Caesar and all everything else and just establish the Hebrew rule here on earth? That was their desire. He said, I didn't come to do that. I came to serve. I came to serve, and same thing's going to be with you. You guys with me? Yep. Let's share a couple principles out of these scriptures. Here's things that are going to hurt our ability to serve and lead like Jesus did. This thing of servant leadership, it sounds like an oxymoron, right? A leader and a servant, but I'm telling you, this is what God has asked us to be. This is what Christ modeled for us. And so servant leaders isn't just an ideology, isn't something that I came up with, or it's one of our values as New Covenant Ministries is this servant leadership. But it's a biblical value. And that's why it's our value. And it needs to be the church's value. And so things that will hurt our servant leadership or our ability to lead like Jesus did, first and foremost, is position seeking. See, the sons of Zebedee said, Jesus, will you do us a favor? Will you give us the positions of honor in heaven? Position seeking. And I'm telling you, if you and I are seeking position within the kingdom sphere, then you and I are seeking the wrong thing. You and I need to be content and happy with where God has called us. But what I do know is that there are other principles within the kingdom that those who are faithful with little, then God will give them charge over much. But first and foremost, that can't be the goal. Well, I'm going to be faithful right now so that I get promoted and I can. No, I'm going to be faithful with what God has given me. And position seeking can't be in the heart of a servant leader. Position seeking cannot be in the heart of the servants of the king. Can't be in the hearts of his children, because we've been called to live like Jesus. And Jesus said, I let go of my position. I let go of all of my privileges and all of my rights so that I can come and serve. And that has to be our heart as well, right? The next thing that'll hurt our ability to lead like Jesus is pride. No, backwards. Possessiveness. Oh, sorry. Thanks, guys. Possessiveness. And so this thing of possessiveness means like this. Jesus tells them, see, the leaders of this world, they flaunt their leadership over you, right? And so they think of leadership as this thing to attain, as this thing to possess. And they think that everything that's within their leadership is theirs, right? These are my people. I've done this. This is my thing. I mean, unfortunately, some of this language has entered the church. This is my ministry. How many of you, this isn't my ministry. It's Jesus's ministry. And anyway, the word ministry is it's my service. This is my service for the king. So what does that even mean, right? I'm not trying to blast people, but you know, you got these big name guys out there and it's, you know, like Jody Romero Ministries International. Like, what? What is that? It's not my ministry. I'm serving the king. This is his thing. It's not my church. It's his church. Right, he's just allowed me to lead in this time and place. right? Because it's not always going to be so. And if we believe that the kingdom is always advancing, then his church will always be advancing. And as long as he tarries and doesn't come back to the earth, then this church is going to continue to exist because that's his will. And so long after I'm gone, his church is going to be going. So how can it be my thing? It's his thing, right? So this possessive thing shouldn't be a part of who we are. We can't lord our leadership over people. And in if whatever God has given you, whatever sphere of influence you're in, whatever area of service that you are about, let's do it as unto the Lord. Let's do it, actually, not as if God is micromanaging, but if we recognize that he is watching us and that we are accountable to him. This is not our thing. This is his thing. And we should be looking over our shoulder, not in fear, but just in reverence, like, Lord, checking myself. Lord, am I doing this thing right? Is this still the way you want me to be doing it? I'm doing this for you, Lord. Is this still what you want me to be doing? Right? As long as God has called you to it and you do it with a pure heart, I promise you, you guys are going to be lined up doing the right things, right? So possessiveness is going to hurt our ability to lead like Jesus. The next thing, as I said earlier, is pride. Pride. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 read like this. Don't be selfish. How many of you guys know leaders that are selfish, right? They want it their way. They want to do their thing. And again, I'm not just speaking about church. I mean, and you guys probably work for people like this. Hopefully you're not people like this, but don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, right? This American culture thing has invaded the church. And we're just trying to impress and all this kind of stuff. No, do it as unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, you're going to be desiring to impress God, not man, right? Don't try to impress others. Be humble, right? It's a counter spirit of pride. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself, or be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. That's what ministry is. That's what ministry is. It is putting others before yourself. That's what Jesus did. He put others before himself. And pride has to fall in us. I shared a story on Thursday night. I lead our church. We planted our church. We were sent out about 6 years ago, but officially started 5 years ago. We just celebrated our fifth anniversary, and we've experienced some degree of success, whatever that means. You know, we're large enough to have teams that you know take care of our facility and hospitality team, and we have an eldership team and deacons and a team that helps do all the things that you guys do in the local church. And so we had this important meeting. I had a friend coming in, and you know, I wanted the place to look nice, and I had delegated everything that was supposed to be delegated, and I thought, this is great, and I don't have to do anything. Man, Lord, we're in a good place, right? And so I wake up early, and I walk over to the church, and then I go into the restroom. And the restroom is shot, right? We have a tutoring program that we host for the kids in the community. And let's just say in the boys' room, the kids or the boys have problems with Amy. And so I get in there, and the smell is bad, and it's not going well. And so I was like a good Marine. I went out and got some bleach. We call it Smell Good, and some deck towels. And I just start bleaching the heck out of this place and, you know, wiping it down. And then I'm starting to think, like, geez Louise, I'm a pastor of this church. I'm in this place having to clean the restrooms. And we've been at this thing for 5 years now. I can't believe we don't have people that come and do this stuff yet. And then the Lord just like, stop. Be quiet. This is my church. Yeah. This is the facility that I've blessed you with. And if you need to clean the restroom, then clean the restroom. If you can't do it with a good heart, then don't do it. And I was just reminded. I mean, trust me, I've cleaned that restroom many, many times. But at this point, I had to check. I had to check my heart. I had to check my heart. I was like, are you being humble, or am I just thinking about myself, or what's going on here, right? And so this thing can raise itself up at any time. And so you and I have to check ourselves against the Lord, right? Awesome. Cool. So those things are the things that are going to hurt our ability to lead like Christ led, as a servant leader. And so here's four qualities that servant leaders must have, our servant leaders must be like this. First and foremost, you must be submitted. I know we hate that word. Americans hate that word, right? You need to submit, right? We don't submit to anybody, right? But listen, we need to be submitted. We need to be subject to someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ, yeah. Right? Yeah. But there's also leaders that you and I are asked to being asked to submit to. We godly authority in our lives. It's amazing how we trust leaders in the life of the church with some huge things. Like if we're going through a marital problem, we'll go to our leadership team, right? I mean, because that's a serious thing. That is, that one of the most precious things we have as couples. If you're married, your marriage is one of the most precious things you have, and you will trust a leader with this thing. But when it comes to something less significant, big, but less significant, like your finances, I'm going to ask them where I spend my money. I'm telling you, I've been saved by so many people, not so many people, but by having conversations with people about what I was about to do with money, refinances, car purchases. I've been saved so many times by just this having a heart of being submitted to someone. I'm about to buy this car. What do you think? Give me some perspective. And listen, you're not asking permission, right? This eldership team, they're not your mom and your dad. They're not going to, it's perspective, godly perspective. And I'm telling you, sometimes we can save ourselves, right? And especially in these areas of service. We need to be submitted. We need to be the type of people that can come to this eldership team and say, hey, listen, I want to serve, but I'm not sure where. I trust you. Can you guys pray about where I can serve? Can you imagine if you had people in your life doing that with you? Can you imagine if the workers that work for you or your kids, mom and dad, we trust you and we love you. Can you tell me what you think I should be doing in this area of my life? Can you imagine that? Yeah. It's the same thing within the kingdom. We need to be submitted, right? I believe that people who are not under authority should not be practicing authority. And so we need to learn this thing. We really need to learn this thing. One hard conversation my wife and I had was, she said it to me, well, who are you submitting yourself to? Right? And when you don't have an answer for that, it gets real quick. Right? Like, okay, touche, right? We need to be submitted people. Next one is servant leaders must be skillful, right? You and I need to take the service that God has placed us into seriously. We need to be skillful at the things that God has asked us to. It's amazing how we become skillful at everything else in our life, right? You go to work and you learn skills. You go to extra job training courses we go online to be better at things. We want to learn how to tweak our cars. We go on YouTube and how do I do this? And we want to become skillful at all these things, right? But when it comes to the things of God, we just see how it goes. We'll just wing it. I'll just show up. The Holy Spirit will help me out. We'll be good, I always share this thing with children's ministry, and I don't mean to pick on children's ministers, but I led a large children's ministry at one point, and some of the most frustrating things would be when I was leading children's ministry was the teachers come up to me that morning and say, oh, I don't have the curriculum. Do you have a copy? I'm like, are you kidding me? I've emailed the curriculum. I've posted the curriculum. That our heart is that you take that curriculum, you study it, you make it your own, you tweak it with what the Lord gives you so that it's inside of you on the morning that you're supposed to be teaching the kids. You don't know what you're teaching. Well, I forgot and I was busy. I'm like, geez, Louise, can you imagine if your pastor did that every Sunday morning? I didn't really study, guys. Let's just see what happens. I don't know. Pick a verse. Let me see. You pick a verse and we'll check it out. We'll see what happens. That's not being skillful. And that's not taking the service that God has enlisted us into seriously. And I'm telling you, we can't dismiss the service of God and just, we'll see what happens. I'll play it by ear. You home group leaders, don't play it by ear. Be intentional. Now, I'm not saying you always have to be like, stressing out, because sometimes we just need to have relationship. But if you're going to have a relationship, then be intentional about it. Pray about it. Be on your knees. Be praying about the time. Lord, we're just going to eat and talk. But Lord, I'm going to pray. I pray for, you know, this couple. And when this night comes, I'm praying. Be skillful with what God has entrusted you with. You guys get what I'm saying? Okay. And then the last thing is be sincere. I mean, do it with a pure heart. I mean, there's too many people serving, sometimes in the wrong areas because they're not brave enough or don't have the courage to talk to their leaders and say, you know what, I just really think I'm playing out of position. And we need to be mature enough to say that. But also, there's too many people who are, I'm playing out of position. And then we ask them, okay, well, where would you like to be playing? Well, I don't know. I just think I need to take a break for the next season. And that season becomes 7 years, you know. It can't be that. God never calls you to less. He always calls you to more. And I tell my people all the time, if you ever think that you're leaving this place, it better be to more. Now, more is relevant. You know, like if one of my guys is going to plant a church, then obviously he's going to be starting from scratch. And the world's eyes, well, that's not more. He's going to go out with his family. There's going to be six of them. For me, that's more. God's called him to more, right? So I pray that your heart is be, God's going to always call me to more. But listen, we do this with a sincere heart. We do it with pure intentions and just want to do the best with what God has charged us with. Do you guys agree with that? Psalm 78, verse 72 reads like this. This is talking about King David. He cared for them with a true heart and with skillful hands he led them. And so this is the type of leader that God is asking us to be, sincere and skillful at the same time, right? To have this kind of character where we're not just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks and like, oh, cool, God showed up. No, we need to be skillful. We need to be skillful with what God's doing, but we also need to be sincere. With integrity of heart, we need to serve in the places that God has asked us to serve. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, I am blessed by this place. I see what God is doing here. And in many ways, you guys are ahead of where we are as a church. But this is what I do know, that we can get comfortable very quick. And sometimes success can stunt us. We just think, I've already done that. I mean, I had a conversation with a friend one time, and it just broke my heart. At one point in our lives, he was leading me. And I just was really chasing after the things of God. And the Lord really began to just advance me in my walk, in my faith. And not that I am better than this guy, but just in the spheres of influence that God was giving me, I just maybe began to surpass him in the things of God in some ways, you know. Not that I'm a better son, that God loves us equally. But if you can hear what I'm saying. So I was watching like a bit of this decline in the areas of his service and what he was doing for the God. And I had this conversation with him. I was like, bro, you know, man, you were my leader at one point, man. I was really watching you, and you were an integral part in helping bring me through in some areas. Like, what's going on? And he had this talk. He's like, hey, bro, I mean, we're those kind of guys. Listen, man, let me school you for a second. In this church, I was one of its major leaders. I was part of this and 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 this. When it was nothing, I built it up and all this kind of stuff. So now, man, I just think I'm just enjoying watching other people come through now. I was just like, what? What about today? Yeah. Surely God doesn't stop working in you. Surely God, his requirements for your life doesn't stop just because you've experienced success in your life in the past. Isaiah 43, behold, I am doing a new thing. A new thing, right? It doesn't mean his principles has changed, his mission hasn't changed, but new things are taking place in our life because there's a world around us that desperately needs Jesus, and Jesus has commissioned the church to be his servants, his agents here on this earth to be advancing the kingdom. And so none of us get the opportunity to say, I'm just going to chill and just, yeah, everyone else can do it. I've done it already. No, God's not done with us. God is not done with us. So look at your neighbor. Tell him, God is not done with you. God is not done with you. For some of us, we're just getting started. For some of us, the Lord this morning just wants to blow wind in your sails. Some of us, the Lord is saying, you know what? You're in the right place. You're in the right spot. You're serving in the right area. You're doing, just keep going. Keep at it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Some of you are doing an amazing job. For some of us, we need to take a look at ourselves again and say, Lord, am I playing in the right position? If not, then Lord, place me in another position. And for some of us, we just need to just get in the game. I mean, really, we just need to recognize that, Lord, I've been out of the game. I've been sitting on the bench. You know, I've been playing left out. I want to be in. I want to be in the game, God. So I want to pray with you guys this morning. Is that cool?
Yeah,
if you guys could just stand with me this morning. Just close your eyes. And if you're willing, just raise your hands this morning. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, there's nothing that we want more than to please you. Or we recognize your sacrifice. We recognize the price that you paid. And Jesus, we thank you for what you modeled here on this earth. Lord, we want to be servant leaders like you. We want to have the attitude that you had, that we didn't come to be served. We came here to serve. And Lord, I am thankful for the faithful men and women in the life of this church. Lord, I am thankful for the impact that this church is making. But Lord, in this moment, Lord, I want to speak to the hearts. Holy Spirit, I ask that you minister,
yes, sir,
as you will this morning, to those who are being lied to, that they are disqualified from serving in the areas that you've called them. Those people who are believing the lies that they missed the boat. Those who are believing the lies that because of their former actions or their former failures, that they are disqualified from serving you and the areas that you've called them to. Lord, we rebuke those words from the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that they begin to hear the truth,
yes,
that you are calling them. You are calling them into spacious places, God. That you are calling them into places that they are going to be impactful and they are going to be useful in the kingdom, and it's going to be for your glory. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I also want to pray for those in the room that have looked at serving with passivity. In a way that that's for other people. I come to church, Lord, that should be good enough. Lord, I pray that every heart in this place, that their heart would be transformed in a way that they know that they need to be active in the kingdom. That they have a purpose in their life to serve their King.
Yes.
And that they are agents in this world to bring light to dark places.
Yes.
And that whether it is a cleaning of a toilet or helping someone walk into the building or preaching on a Sunday morning, whatever it is all loving on the hearts of your children so that they can have a connection with the Creator of the universe, the Savior of the world, King and Lord. We are serving you, God. Lord, may passivity not be part of the culture and the life of this church. That men and women won't be the type that are comfortable with watching the rest of the church advance, and they'll just hang back. Activate your children this morning, Lord. Lord, we love you. I'm thankful for all that you are doing in this church. I'm thankful that the best years for this church are yet to come. That nations are going to be transformed. Communities are going to be transformed. Families are going to be transformed. Marriages will be transformed. And a lot of it will be through the areas of this thing, Lord. Us serving like you served. We love you, Jesus. Thank you.